None of the 70,000 adverse events of puberty-blocking drugs were a safety priority for Biden's FDA. By David Gortler at brownstone.org. Back in the early 2000s, the FDA launched the Safety First Steering Committee, SFSC. It was started to address the safety concerns of marketed drugs of noteworthy concern to Americans. Today, the acronym is still found ubiquitously throughout FDA documents, but those links no longer function. It appears to have been replaced by the Drug Risk Management Board, DRMB. The DRMB has no public-facing webpage, but it appears that the DRMB is just a rebranded SFSC. Per the FDA, the DRMB is a cross-CDER governance board responsible for three key objectives. 1. Facilitating and coordinating decisions around major product safety issues. 2. Providing clear and consistent guidance enabling an appropriate response to major safety issues. And 3. Systematically communicating decisions and resulting actions across the center and to other stakeholders as appropriate. In addition, the DRMB facilitates and coordinates all new and existing marketed product safety initiatives. The Drug Safety Monitoring Board was chaired by Dr. Patrizia Cavazzoni, the head of the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, CDER. Cavazzoni unexpectedly resigned just hours prior to Donald Trump's inauguration on January 20, 2025. Although neither the DRMB staff nor meeting minutes are made public, the FDA Drug Safety Priority Annual Reports are. One of the more conspicuous things missing from those reports over the past decade or so is any mention of the widespread off-label promotion of hormone modulators, also referred to as GnRH modulators or puberty blockers, and or cross-sex hormones in kids, in the name of gender transition. The FDA releases an annual report on what it considers to be drug safety priorities for the agency. It's not really a surprise that Cavazzoni, a psychiatrist and former Big Pharma employee for nearly two decades prior to joining the FDA, would turn a blind eye to drug safety based on politics. During her leadership, Cavazzoni enacted questionable political regulatory decisions and advanced other Biden-Harris White House policies, including multiple ineffective and dangerous Alzheimer's disease products, as well as demanding cruel animal testing in place of newer, animal-free methodology. As the chairwoman of the DRMB, Cavazzoni should objectively determine what is a priority. Cavazzoni determined that tens of thousands of puberty-blocking transgender drug adverse events, including deaths, hospitalizations, and permanent disabilities, simply aren't a Drug Risk Monitoring Board priority. The only publicly identified member of the DSMB is Dr. Patrizia Cavazzoni, the director of CDER. Cavazzoni spent her entire career prior to the FDA working for Big Pharma. Despite claiming rigorous and wide-ranging efforts in safeguarding the nation's prescription, she fully ignored around 70,000 adverse events from puberty blockers in each of her annual reports. Over the last two decades, puberty blocking reports to the FDA's Adverse Event Reporting Database, AERS, reported around 70,000 adverse event reports, yet never received a solitary mention in any FDA Drug Risk Monitoring Board report. In addition to AERS, published data shows that cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers are correlated with dramatically increased, sevenfold, risks of stroke, heart attack, and blood clots, along with additional studies also showing serious life-threatening adverse events and other permanent, physiologically devastating consequences. On a side note, the FDA DRMB seems to ignore COVID mRNA and several other COVID-era treatment safety issues as well. One would think that any kind of adverse event is something that the FDA would feel obligated to warn American taxpayers about, but for one reason or another, it isn't. Puberty blockers are a particularly notable case for a safety discussion, as they are used off-label to block the natural progression biological of puberty in healthy kids and adolescents. Before being used for gender alteration, these drugs were typically prescribed for life-threatening endocrine disorders or cancers in the elderly or older adult populations. A price comparison for one kit, a one-month supply, Luprolide, Lupron, costs anywhere from over $12,000 to over $14,000 per month with an online coupon. Plus, under the Biden administration, puberty blockers for transgender therapy would have been covered by the taxpayers. Puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. The administration of synthetic, sex-incongruent hormones and/or so-called puberty blockers are hormones, not at all your everyday drugs. Hormones are especially potent, synthetic versions of signaling compounds made by one's anterior pituitary, aka the master gland. Hormones, natural or synthetic, are therefore seen by the body's receptors as a particularly forceful command. On the other end is one's natural biological and hormonal function. There exist approximately 100 trillion nucleated cells with an XX, female, or XY, male, combination denoting either female or male sex, respectively. Hormones released by one's pituitary foster normal physiological development. Sex incongruent hormones interrupt that biological function. That chaos between one's healthy biology versus outside chemicals means that all sorts of adverse effects would emerge as one's physiology gets bewildered. A highly simplified mechanical analogy would be trying to drive your car across America by alternately, simultaneously pressing the gas and brake pedals while constantly shifting into random gears. You will get nowhere and destroy the car. Politics dictating how FDA warns Americans about drug safety. Although the FDA has warned that puberty-blocking type products can cause life-threatening brain swelling, headaches, vomiting, a host of visual disturbances, including blindness, and/or tumor-like masses in the brain, it has only done so deep within regulatory notifications and publications where it cannot easily be found. It has not made a widespread public notification to pharmacists, physicians, or the American public. On the other hand, the FDA very prominently and selectively warned about the dangers of off-label use of drugs like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, neither of which have anywhere near the breadth or incidence of safety issues compared to that of transgender pharmacotherapy. When the FDA chose to speak out against hydroxychloroquine for COVID, it commenced a salvo of social media ads plus multiple dedicated web pages and videos against it. It did so following just 331 adverse event reports over 6 months, many of which were obvious misuse with wildly incorrect or lacking critically important dosing and/or timing information. The FDA even advertised its success in warning consumers over the internet, which caused its website to become the number one internet search leading to FDA webpages, and at the top of trending topics on social media platforms. In an excerpt from its 2020 report for Drug Safety Priorities Report, page 42, the FDA CDER leadership crowed about how it was able to amplify searches for hydroxychloroquine render as the number one Google search to its FDA.gov webpage. Clearly, the FDA knows exactly how to inform Americans about critical drug safety matters, if it wants to. With Donald Trump's inauguration as president, former FDAers like myself look forward to seeing substantial FDA overhaul, transparency, and the non-political coverage of drug safety. Trump's executive order to protecting children from chemical and surgical mutilation is a step in the right direction, but FDA leadership should have been concerned with that independently, and years ago.